Have you ever wondered what holds a church together despite all the differences? In Ephesians 4, Paul moves from the beliefs of the church to the behavior of the church. He emphasizes humility, gentleness, patience, and eagerness as key ingredients for preserving unity of the Spirit. Unity isn't about everyone being the same. It's about being united in Christ. Here's Stephen with a lesson called The Recipe for Genuine Unity.
As we set sail today into chapter 4 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul now is going to move from the beliefs of the church to the behavior of the church. In other words, the focus now is not going to be on our doctrine, but how our doctrine should be demonstrated in life. Now, he gets to his primary concern right away here in verse 3. He calls the church to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So as we demonstrate our doctrine, Paul gets right to the point. He tells us that measuring up to our calling as Christians isn't going to be discovered by how we treat the world or even our own family members. It's revealed in how we treat each other in the church body. Now, again, the major emphasis in the first three chapters of Ephesians was the union of Jewish and Gentile believers into one body, the church. Now, Paul wants them to maintain that unity in the church. And that same unity is needed today. I'm always amazed at the church where I've pastored for decades. I've seen people come together really from a variety of backgrounds. Some are mature believers, while others have only recently come to faith. We have people from the north, and we've got people from the south. We have elderly people. We've got young people. In my recent new members class, I had some people from Iran, South Korea, China, Argentina, Russia, Thailand, Brazil, the Philippines. I mean, we're from so many different backgrounds and cultures. How do we ever hope to get along? Well, let me tell you, the fact that we do get along is one of the greatest testimonies we have to the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ is able to bind together people of different backgrounds and cultures and ethnicities into a fellowship of genuine love and unity. Now, keep in mind here that Paul is talking about unity, not uniformity. Uniformity is the only thing the world knows anything about, and there's incredible pressure from the culture to make everybody just like everybody else. Well, let me tell you, uniformity is man-made. Unity is Spirit-made. Preserving our unity in Christ is critical because it's a primary target then of the enemy who hates it. Satan's most effective tool against gospel-believing churches is to divide them. No wonder Paul exhorts the Ephesian church here in verse 3 to protect the unity of the Spirit. Now, how are we supposed to do this? Well, Paul gives us the answer here by giving us the ingredients of genuine unity, those things that promote the unity of the church. And there are four of them listed in these next few verses. The first ingredient you need to mix into the recipe of genuine unity is humility. Verse 2 says that unity is maintained with all humility. You could translate that with the idea of being completely humble. Now, keep in mind that to the ancient Greek and Roman worlds out there, humility was a quality for slaves to exhibit. They were to be humble. Paul's culture valued the opposite of humility, people who were self-sufficient and self-assured and self-promoting. And let me tell you, even to this day, humility is politically incorrect. But this is the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. His humble attitude was so striking, wasn't it? And we're told to imitate him over in Philippians chapter 2. We're to have the same attitude that Christ had, who humbled himself, who became a servant, and he became obedient even to death on the cross. Now, here's another ingredient, the second ingredient to mix into this recipe of unity. Here it is in verse 2. Paul calls it gentleness. Gentleness can be translated meekness. And let me remind you, we've already said it before, but the New Testament idea of meekness is not weakness. Rather, it is power under control. In fact, the Greek word here for gentleness or meekness was used to describe horses that were trained to carry warriors into battle. They were trained to respond instantly to the command of the warrior. So their strength was under that warrior's control. So in a similar way, our strength is to be under the Spirit's control. Disunity in the church is most often tied to a lack of humility and people's desire to gain power. Frankly, their strength is out of control. It's certainly not under the Spirit's control. Now, here's a third ingredient to mix in with the others. Paul adds here in verse 2, patience, bearing with one another in love. Paul is using a word here that refers to being patient with other people while being provoked. And this is to be done, that is, we're to respond in love. So when we're not treated like we think we should be, when people don't respond like we think they should, well, here's the question. Do we care more about the unity of the church than we do about ourselves? Are we willing to be overlooked or even misunderstood and respond graciously for the sake of unity? Well, if you're like me, you're probably feeling a little guilty right about now, and maybe you're thinking, like me, I guess I ought to try a lot harder. Well, here in verse 3, that's what Paul encourages us to do, to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. By the way, that's the fourth ingredient, eagerness. Literally, this word means to make every effort possible for the sake of unity. Now, don't miss this. Nowhere does Paul tell us that we can create unity. We can't. The Spirit of God creates unity. We're just told to energetically and diligently and humbly preserve it, guard it, maintain it. Beloved, to belong to a local church is to make up your mind that you're not as important as other people. It's being quick to protect the unity of the assembly. Since the Spirit creates unity, well, we need to walk in the Spirit in order to protect it. Now, remember, we're all different from each other. We come from different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have different tastes or likes. But we all must follow the same person. We're following the same Lord. We're indwelt by the same Spirit. And Paul is cheering us on here. He's effectively saying, look, don't give up and don't let up. Don't stop preserving and protecting the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now with that, Paul's going to move on to connect the unity of the church to all three members of the triune God. He writes here in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit. In other words, there's only one Holy Spirit and one body he's created. That is a reference to the universal living church of the redeemed. Now, verse 5 refers to the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. Paul says here, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That is, we all serve the one true Lord, the Lord Jesus, and we share that one true faith in him. One baptism, he refers to water baptism, the ceremony by which we publicly profess our faith in the Lord, and we identify in his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, now Paul connects our unity with God the Father here in verse 6, where he writes, there is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In other words, God is the Father of all who believe in Christ. It's as if Paul is saying to us, listen, we have way too much in common, our salvation, our family membership in Christ, our union with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's just too much connecting us to allow ourselves, the enemy of the church, to disconnect, to divide us over perhaps our self-centered, divisive spirits. Now, sometimes division is necessary to preserve biblical doctrine from being ignored or diluted or outright defied. Denominations and churches today are dividing because church and denominational leaders are defying, disobeying Scripture. Let me tell you, that kind of division is honorable. We can never surrender the truth of the gospel, the moral standards of Scripture, the truth of biblical doctrine, or the authority of God who created us. Our unity is based on the truths of Scripture and the gospel. So let's humbly and patiently welcome, encourage, seek the best for each other in our local churches. Differences that arise over non-essential issues, well, they ought to be resolved in a spirit of humility and peace. Let's show the world our unity around the gospel, around the truth of God's word, around the triune God who created us, around the Savior who died for us and rose again for us. Let's stand together in this powerful witness to the world of the life-changing work of Christ. Well, that's all for today. Until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Today you learned about the importance of humility, gentleness, patience, and eagerness in maintaining the unity of the Spirit. Our unity in Christ is a powerful testimony to the world. For more insights, visit wisdomonline.org. While you're there, take advantage of our free membership program called Friends of Wisdom. Each week, Stephen sends encouragement to all of the members on that list. I want to make sure you're included. You'll receive articles, free resources, and more. Sign up at wisdomonline.org and then join us next time to continue your wisdom journey.